Well, I wish I could tell you it's been a slow Monday, but it hasn't been. The news cycle has been insane, and I'm glad you guys are joining us tonight to discuss everything and unpack it with us, because there's so much to go through. I mean, just in the last few minutes, it was bombshell after bombshell after bombshell, and guess where it's all dropping? It's dropping on citizenfreepress.com. That's where I'm at right now to kind of go over everything, and I want to direct our audience to it, because if you want to be up to date on everything, you got to head over there. Kane and the great folks at CFP have been plugging away in the headlines. If you just refresh it every couple of minutes, I mean, the stories are flooding in right now. So I know that they're all probably running around the office like a madman, but they've got a lot to unpack, and we do as well in tonight's show. So we're so happy you're with us. The first story up is actually very, very interesting, because it has to do with, well, a Breitbart bombshell story that we're going to talk about later on in the show. But it looks like Joe Biden and all of his little commie friends, well, they actually may have, allegedly, of course, I say allegedly, but they might have planted an operative inside of Fannie Willis's office, somebody who's directly connected with the Biden administration. So in just a few minutes, we're going to unpack all of that with Wendell Huisbo. He's got the latest on this. This is his sources telling him everything. And so, of course, we're going to unpack that with him. And we're thankful that he's joining us today to talk about it, because he's not just that story he's got going on right now. He's got a second story also on Fulton County. I mean, he is digging up the corruption. And so this is very important to pay attention to. But the other story that's really important just happened. It looks like, according to people on Twitter, everyone's talking about this now because there's a video actually that details this. But Ukraine allegedly put out a hit on American journalist Tucker Carlson. This is all coming out in a video. It looks like a Moscow man was arrested for allegedly accepting payment from Ukrainian intelligence community, obviously, to plant an explosive device on Tucker Carlson's vehicle, targeting the American journalist during his interview with Vladimir Putin. You guys might remember that. We spoke about it on the show. Obviously, the United States government didn't want him doing this, and obviously Ukraine. And so ultimately, what we're seeing right now is we're seeing a video that has popped up, which is this individual who alleges that he was paid to do so. I was trained in working with special communications, collecting and giving the like the explosive device, it looks like, which is very interesting. And then he goes on to saying that on January 31st, I received a task and ultimately was to pick up an explosive device from a hiding place and use it to blow up a car. What was promised to you, looks like their ass. And then the quote is $4,000. It's insane. We don't know, obviously, if it's true or not. There's going to be a lot more digging to do. Again, I mean, this is insane. It was parking in the Four Seasons Hotel in Moscow. It's where they, and this might have been where Tucker was saying, do you know who the target was? He said, yes, American journalist Tucker Carlson. What went wrong? I was detained at the preparation stage. So this individual was apparently detained before he launches attack and murder Tucker Carlson. Now, again, just a reminder, audience, the Ukrainian intelligence community, they are like this with our CIA. And so I've got tons of questions. If this story is true, if these allegations this gentleman are making are legitimate, we've got questions that need answering. Did our CIA know anything about this? What did they know? When did they know it? Did they tip off Tucker's team? It's an explosive report. And it's disturbing, of course, but we need to get answers on this, because we know damn right Ukraine has no problem killing American journalists. We saw that with Liera as well. Our government did nothing to save that man who was killed in a Ukrainian prison. And so, heck yeah, we should all be fired up and pissed off about this if this report is true, because yet again, if you push back against the regime and their narrative, they will allow foreign governments to murder you. And that's the message we're sending to journalists in the United States. And that's why they're all so complicit. They'll run any type of false information. They'll run it as factually correct. As long as it's planted by the intel community, they'll just run in and say, oh, my sources at the DOJ, my sources at the FBI. And we see this time and time again. So a lot to pay attention to here, folks, because this is going to be a major, major issue. If he was successful, man, that would have been a devastating day for this country. Devastating day for our country. Let's head back to the stack. I've got another story coming up. It looks like, and I'm from South Florida, guys. I live in South Florida. How the migrant influx is causing tensions in one of the most dense Hispanic communities that's here in Miami. I know a lot of you guys are well-versed on this. Miami flipped, and it's Hialeah is the community here, which has a massive Cuban presence. As many of you guys know, a lot of Cubans have fled. They usually land in Miami, and that's where they settle down. And I love going over there. Honestly, Cuban Americans are so welcoming. They're so kind, especially in Miami. But it does feel like a different world, I have to say. When you go there, most of these people don't speak English. And so you're kind of like guessing, but they're very kind. I once went to a Little Havana, and they were like walking me around, telling me about all these good restaurants I should try. I sat down in a Cuban restaurant. The waitressing staff all came out. They knew I couldn't speak English, Spanish. I still can't speak English either. But they were so kind. So I really love this part of town. But ultimately, too, got to keep in mind, these people are conservative as heck. They do not do this whole woke nonsense. They are against illegal immigration completely. You talk to residents in Hialeah, and they are not for this. They actually came out swinging for Governor Ron DeSantis when he was reelected, and the numbers were crazy. They've also pushed back on their school districts and their board of elections, and I mean a board of education, and you know they are just constantly pushing back against the woke agenda. And so yet again, this is another article outlining how Cuban Americans have had enough and they will push back and they're going to come out swinging for conservative values. And it's just interesting to see because later on in the show, we're going to talk about legal migration with Victor Avila. I've been doing some digging. The information I'm finding out regarding the 22-year-old nursing student in Georgia who was allegedly murdered by an illegal immigrant, it's a complete bombshell. It's gut-wrenching, but you have to hear it because it. I'm going to outline for you the layers of failure that happen across our country. It's disturbing. But again, this is why so many Americans have had enough, and they're going to do so by pushing back in November, hopefully. Let's also pivot to another story that's in the headlines. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office, Alvin Bragg, you know that fat slob who goes up on the podium and can barely hold himself up, but he's clinching on it for dear life because his knees are about to give out. Well, that fat slob is asking a judge to slap a gag order on President Donald Trump. And he's saying it's regarding, obviously, the hush money case, but it's regarding dozens of threats. And they always outline, oh, we're getting so many threats. Our safety is at risk. They can never tell you who are those threats coming from or give you the exact threats because we could ultimately map them out. We could find the IP addresses. We could go after these people who are threatening anyone because I stand against that completely. But they just do it saying, well, we're receiving these anonymous threats. Again, no proof, no evidence. But it looks like, let's see, Manhattan District Attorney on Monday asked a judge to impose a limited gag order on President Donald J. Trump, who is charged with falsifying business records related to the hush money he allegedly paid adult film star Stormy Daniels. And so where is he getting to the threat part in all of this? Let's see. I grab these headlines literally as we are going to air on this, so bear with me on this one. But ultimately, it looks like that they're saying the Trump's hush money case is scheduled to begin March 25th. We know that starts next month. And he just looks like he's just citing threats. And Bragg's head of security is claiming that he is receiving a lot of threats, a surge in threats. And it all began after President Donald Trump, of course, that's how they say it, started targeting him on social media. So what they want to do, right, Alvin Bragg's office, what they want to do is they want you to, there you go, that's the fat slob. What they want to do is they want to tell you that he's being targeted and make him the victim in all of this, like they always do. You know, liberals, they always play up the victim role because it's profitable in many aspects. And it's beneficial when you're a district attorney who's leading a political witch hunt against your friend's opposition. And so we've seen this time and time again. We're always talking about this, but these people want to interfere in our election this November. They want to interfere by pushing forward these cooked up cases. I mean, this is another case. Guys, remind you all, this case was rejected by his predecessor and didn't want to file the charges. And even the DOJ didn't want to file charges. So he played legal gymnastics to push this through. And that's what we're dealing with now. And it's all to create this pressure campaign against the president, where he cannot run a campaign. He's going to be tied up in criminal and civil lawsuits. And it's because these are communist pigs. And literally, that's a pig that you see on your screen there. I'll take it off just as a favor for the rest of you at home right now, especially if you're eating dinner. I apologize. But again, we see this time and time again. They are trying to interfere in our elections. And I don't care whether you support President Donald Trump. I don't care. You guys, I've spoken about this openly. He wasn't my first pick, I would say. I've openly said that I was a Ron DeSantis fan out the gate, even prior to him announcing. But we now live in a time where we cannot sit here and pretend like this is democracy. This is not democracy, guys. This is not democracy. Listen, I am okay with if President Trump, I love him. I think what he did during his time in office was incredible. And moving forward, if he is our nomination, which obviously he is, and Nikki Haley won't give up yet, but we all need to support him. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. What's going on in this country right now is disgusting. We are watching our democracy completely deteriorate. And so we all need to be speaking up right now. We cannot sit here and allow this to continue to happen. And speaking of our democracy deteriorating, I want to bring your attention to New York Democrats, who are a conglomerate of communist treasonous pigs. And they have done everything within their powers from the governor's office down to interfere with our elections. And what I mean by that is the governor stacked the courts up with all of these just communist judges to make sure that she could push back against the congressional maps. And she did so through the appeals process so that they could have more lenient blue districts. And it all came when Republicans won that like very thin margin to take back the House. And so here we go. We see Democratic state lawmakers in New York are expected to reject a House map proposed by a bipartisan commission and back the redistricting lines that they've drawn up themselves. Three people familiar with the source tell Axios, obviously, or Politico, sorry. There's this makes sense. The drama over redistricting in New York is the height, that reaching its height of both parties. Again, I've told you guys before too, the New York GOP is a pile of garbage. They are not conservatives. They don't uphold conservative values. They often run Democrats under the Republican ticket. And that's why you have this whole debacle going on right now in the House, because we have a whole bunch of frauds who ran in New York as Republicans, but they're not. So again, Democrats are kicking it up a notch and they are prepared to get back their congressional districts and do so any way they can. They fought hard for this, and you got to give it to Democrats. They fought hard for this. They kept appealing. They kept fighting. They stacked the courts in their favors. And so it's likely going to happen. This is what we see happening all the time. And so, you know, we'll wait and see, but this is going to be a long, long battle. And so we'll see how it plays out. So again, guys, Citizen Free Press, when you're ready to unpack all of the news before my show starts, of course, make sure you head there and do so. And in case you're at home right now and you are wondering, how can you stay in touch with the latest? I also now am launching a new morning briefing. It is just kind of a rundown of the top headlines. It's about 5 minutes long. And we just go over each story and I pull out the most important headlines for you to start your workday. So again, if you're watching on Rumble or YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you get the alert every time we go live on that. And we'll be right back with more of the Brianna Morello Show. If you enjoyed that interview, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button. And if you're watching on Rumble or YouTube, make sure you guys give us a thumbs up. And we love hearing from you. So drop us a comment and give us some feedback. We'd greatly appreciate it. And if you're listening on any of our popular podcasting platforms, of course, give us a 5-star review. You could do it for every single episode that we release. And we greatly appreciate it if you do so. And if you want to stay in touch, head over to briannamorello.com right now. You can see our Substacks up there. Substack is completely free. Just enter your email address and you'll be on the mailing list. And all of our social media platforms are available from there. And if you'd like to, feel free to drop a donation as well. We greatly appreciate it. And we have so much more to unpack on the Brianna Morello Show. I just finished unpacking my latest MyPillow order. And guys, it is incredible. I just stocked up on the new MyPillow 2.0 line, and let me tell you something, when it's the MyPillow I'm using 2.0, or if it's the Giza bed sheets, I'm sleeping like a baby these days. And it's just not my sleep that's improving. Gia and Giuseppe, their sleep's improving on the MyPillow dog beds. They are loving them. I literally can't get Gia off of it because she's obsessed with it. My best friend Allie, I gifted her the new MyPillow slippers, and she can't take them off her feet these days. She says it feels like she's walking on clouds, especially after working in heels all day long. So if you're interested in improving the quality of life right now, you gotta head over to MyPillow.com. And if you want to secure up to 66% off, make sure you type in Brianna, that's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. You gotta head there now. They're going to sell out quickly, and you gotta get your hands on these new products. Breitbart is dumping another bombshell report, and it's all about Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade and how corrupt the Fulton County District Attorney's Office is. Now, we've been talking about this for quite some time now, so there's really no surprise here. But now there's a direct connection between the Biden regime and Fulton County, and that's exactly what Breitbart is mapping out for you right now. So ultimately, Breitbart's saying that the Biden administration planted a Democrat operative inside of Fulton County District's Attorney's Office. And the objective there was to target President Donald Trump. And then they go on to kind of detailing all of this and how it happened. Their source, who is anonymous, but we understand why they have to remain anonymous, expresses how corrupt the District Attorney's Office is in Fulton County. But then they tell you about a man named Jeff DeSantis. He is the county's deputy district attorney. Now, based on his resume, because he does have quite the extensive resume, this individual, according to Breitbart, wouldn't necessarily, they're kind of overqualified for their position is kind of how they're mapping this out for you. Ultimately, DeSantis worked on Willis's 2020 campaign, according to Breitbart. He was also the former executive director of the Democrat Party of Georgia. And the list goes on and on and on. Now, their sources credit DeSantis with colluding with the White House to target President Donald Trump. DeSantis did this, their source says. He's the one. He's the one pulling the strings. He's the one pretty much, you know, going wall to wall with all of this and forcing Fulton County to go after President Donald Trump. And this article just does a great job of just mapping out exactly that. Now, it's just not that Breitbart's breaking. They've been breaking a lot of news lately, and it's something that I'm trying to keep up with all the time because they've got this whole Fulton County thing figured out, it looks like. They dropped another story regarding Nathan Wade, and Nathan Wade was apparently in charge of making decisions to hire and fire employees of the Fulton County District Attorney's Office when Fannie Willis won her election. Now, keep in mind, Nathan Wade at the time was a private citizen. So he's handpicking all of these people into Fannie Willis's office, which is interesting considering the fact that November 2020, they just didn't have, he kind of details it on the stand that they didn't have a close relationship and they didn't start dating till after he was named special prosecutor. So again, their timeline is getting devoured and rightfully so. We continue to talk about it again, how the phone records, the cell phone data doesn't seem to align with Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis's testimony. They continue to tell you that, oh, we started dating after he was brought on as special prosecutor, not prior. But again, based on the records that President Donald Trump's attorneys were able to obtain through a subpoena through AT&T, there were at least 35 visits that Nathan Wade took to Fannie Willis's home, and those were overnight stays. Again, thousands of text messages, thousands of phone calls. Their relationship was, in fact, very close based on just that. And they're downplaying all of this. So to help us unpack everything, I want to bring in a reporter from Breitbart. He is the political reporter from them. Let's bring in Wendell Huseblow. He is the one responsible for dropping all of these bombshells right now. Wendell, thank you so much for jumping on with us. We greatly appreciate your time. I know you've been very, very busy going through all of this. So thank you for jumping on with us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Brianna.
I wanted to talk about this because I think it's so important. You're mapping out the fact that we've talked about before about how Nathan Wade met with the White House counsel and he's billing Georgia taxpayers for it. But now your sources are telling you that it goes even further than that, that there's actually a plant from Joe Biden's office. Like they literally put this person in Fulton County District Attorney's office and that this person is the one pulling the strings. Is that correct?
That is correct. I have multiple well-sourced individuals with direct knowledge of Fulton County DA's office that say that the Biden administration had a plant in Fannie Willis's office and that this plant was put in or was a design plan to target Donald Trump. And this all came about during Fannie Willis's transition, I'm told. Fannie Willis won the 2020 election, and she quickly had to assemble her team to, you know, take office in January. And while this transition process was occurring, Nathan Wade was selecting the employees of the Fulton County's DA office, is what I'm told. And along with that, we have a DNC operative named Jeff DeSantis, not to be confused with the great governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. Yeah. Jeff DeSantis is that plant, according to multiple sources with direct information.
Now, this is interesting because ultimately, this again puts the administration's fingerprints all over these accusations, all over the case that's going on right now in Fulton County. Are you hearing a response back from the Fulton County District Attorney's Office regarding your reports? Because again, you've dropped several of them. These are all bombshells, but when I reach out, they're quiet. So are you hearing anything from them?
I think that they've been very quiet. They remain very quiet. And I honestly don't expect them to speak with us, because here at Breitbart News, we try to report the facts straight down the middle and let our readers know exactly what's going on. And it seems like the Fulton County DA's office has been doing nothing but covering up their show trial of Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, they are. And I want to talk about the other story that you broke this week. I mentioned it briefly in the introduction regarding Nathan Wade and how he's handpicking people, according to you guys, who were supposed to, you know, work within Willis's office. Now, the interesting part to that is Nathan Wade is a private citizen. So ultimately, he should not be doing so. Why should viewers right now be a little bit alarmed by that report? Because again, he's a private citizen, but is that really something that, you know, most Americans should be outraged by?
They probably should be very outraged by it. It raises ethical concerns. It raises conflict of interest concerns. It raises questions about when Fannie and Wade, Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade actually met. You know, if he was on the transition team, you know, assembling Fannie's team to prosecute Donald Trump, yeah, that would fly in the face of what Wade said on the stand, which is that, you know, their relationship or affair really heated up in 2022 and they didn't have much contact in 2019 or 2020 or 2021. And so these contradictions really raise questions.
Yeah, they do for sure. You have sources obviously inside Fulton County right now. Are you hearing that there's any panic in the office right now because all of this information is starting to leak? Is there any panic at all?
I can only tell you the response we've received at Breitbart.com. It's just been wild, the comment section. There's so much intrigue. A couple of our allies have posted on social media the stories that we have reported, and the response has just been incredible. And we look forward to doing some more. Some more stories will drop. We're planning in the next couple of days, so stay tuned for that at Breitbart.com.
Yeah, I know. You're working on a lot, and your sources in Fulton County are amazing, I got to say. But it's interesting to see people spilling the beans on all of this, because I think most Americans are outraged as to how far the Biden regime has gone to do these things. I mean, it screams corruption when we paint out these allegations, but they're also just openly lying to the American people. I mean, I know Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade are trying to dispute the cell phone records regarding all of this. But AT&T is coming out and saying, no, this is legitimate, your cell phone records, and there's no false information here. So it's really interesting to see, and I'm glad you guys are doing all the digging on this, because this is very important. Like I've told so many people, they took down so many Americans, which is basically filing charges against a ton of defendants, over a dozen people, and average Americans, people who are just volunteering and knocking on doors. They don't have the funds to kind of fend for themselves. And I think that's what Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade were looking to do when they used RICO against these individuals, was looking to scare them into not being able to pay their legal defense fees, and then kind of forcing them into taking plea agreements and potentially going against the president, making up lies just to kind of get themselves out of the situation. So I think it's really interesting, and I think it's amazing what you're doing over at Breitbart and everyone else over there. So thank you. I also wanted to mention one more story too before you head out. James Biden, last week you put up a story regarding James Biden throwing out one of the first diamonds that Hunter Biden allegedly received an exchange from a Chinese energy company. It was the first one he tossed. The second one was an $80,000 diamond. Just your reaction to it, because again, this screams corruption, because it seems like it's a pay-to-play scheme and that they're using diamonds. Have you ever heard of anyone throwing out a diamond ever?
I haven't heard of anyone throwing out a diamond except the Biden family. Yeah. It seems to me that the story is probably true, that James Biden probably did throw away the diamond, because if the Biden family accepted that diamond, it would be disastrous for the Biden administration. So whether or not he did or didn't, we can all guess. But yeah. What happened to the second diamond? We still don't know where the second diamond is. And that's the question that we really should be looking into.
Yeah, that second diamond, like you cited, is $80,000 worth. So it's interesting. We should be asking those questions because, yeah, it screams potential corruption issues. And this all happened when Joe Biden was vice president under Barack Obama. So yes, we have a lot of questions that we need answered. Wendell, thank you for jumping on with us today. I know you're busy, but I look forward to reading all of your stories that are coming out this week at Breitbart. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend Dr. Kirk Elliott because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products, taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at RedemptionShield.com and get grounded and shielded. RedemptionShield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
I want to bring your attention to some just really upsetting news. Many of you probably have heard about the 22-year-old nursing student from Georgia. Her body was recovered in the woods. Her name, Lakin Riley. She was a 22-year-old on the Dean's List nursing student who was brutally, brutally murdered. And the individual who's being accused of murdering her is, in fact, an illegal alien, somebody who shouldn't have been in this country in the first place. And there's just so much to go through. Let's kind of unpack this. So this individual you see on your screen, he is the one who is being accused of murdering this beautiful, beautiful 22-year-old nursing student in Georgia. Jose Ibarra is his name. He is somebody who's been charged now with felony murder, false imprisonment, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, we're learning a lot about this case, and I have been working all throughout the weekend to find out more and more. So bear with me as I unpack all of this. There's even more information coming in real time right now from the FBI and other agencies. But what's going on here? Well, this individual, this illegal immigrant, Jose is his name. He came to the country last year and we allowed him to do so. The Biden administration did so. During his time in this country, he came in with his wife and a five-year-old child who he might be claiming is his child, but we have not been able to confirm if that's the case and if there's been any DNA testing done in that situation. So we won't say it's his son as of yet. We know a lot of these fake family units that are built up and then they make their way over here because they know that they have a better shot at getting an asylum claim. And Jose knew that. In fact, Jose's wife spoke with the New York Post saying, "We got married so we could join our asylum cases." Okay, so understand all of that. So he came into our country illegally and was charged last year with endangering the welfare of a child. Now, we don't know the child's name or information, but according to reports, that child was 5 years old, which might be the child he came into the country with. He was also charged with motor vehicle license violations during that arrest. Now, here's where things get a little funky. The NYPD made the arrest. I was told this happened in Queens, New York. The NYPD apparently, according to ICE, when I reached out to the NYPD first off, and I asked them about this arrest, the NYPD today told me they had no information regarding this arrest. But now I'm hearing from ICE. They somehow, they're accusing New York of misfiling the dates on it. So the arrest should have said that it happened on August 31st of last year, but the NYPD listed it as September 14th, which is strange. So again, the NYPD is telling me that they don't even have the record of the arrest. But then it gets even more suspicious. ICE, again, I asked ICE directly in an email. Specifically, I asked ICE, did you place a retainer on Jose when he was arrested by the New York City Police Department? And ICE referred me to a bunch of other agencies that had nothing to do with it. But then I finally got to the bottom of it, and they released a public statement saying that they couldn't place a detainer on Jose because the NYPD released him. Again, guys, they likely didn't even make the attempt to do so. And to be fair, New York doesn't hold any of these detainers and they don't take them seriously. So ICE has probably just kind of chopped it up to say, we have no skin in this anymore. And they're not filing these because New York City is a sanctuary city. Again, very suspicious. Now, I want to bring you over to an affidavit that I received, again, from the Department of Justice. This one's in regards to Jose's brother, who also was living here illegally. His first name is Diego. Now, Diego was apparently stopped by a police officer in Georgia because he matched the description of Lakeland's suspected murderer. And so when they did, Diego presented that police officer allegedly with a fake green card. Again, guys, these guys are clearly doing this intentionally. Allegedly, they are giving over fake documents and they are getting away with crimes. So it's interesting, right? So his brother Jose was charged in New York. Now he finds himself in Georgia. The NYPD won't confirm with me if he ever missed any court dates. He's living with his brother Diego, according to reports. And his brother, who just recently got to the United States, hasn't even been here for a full year, has been racking up charges, all separate instances. He's racked up DUI, shoplifting, and failing to appear for a fingerprint offense. Again, more craziness. Diego shouldn't have been in the country either. And again, he committed crimes in our country and was released back into the public. Now, the DOJ sent over the criminal complaints to me. They also sent over the affidavits regarding Diego. But here's where it gets interesting. I didn't ask them about Diego. I asked them about Jose. I wanted to know the man who's accused of murdering this 22-year-old girl, what his deal was. And the Department of Justice wouldn't give me that information. Instead, they tried deflecting and they used his brother to throw under the bus. So what's really going on here? Now, again, and I'm going to pull this off my phone because this is all, again, happening in real time. Kyle Serafin, the FBI whistleblower we've had on the show before, he's reporting that he spoke to his sources in the FBI. And his sources tell us that Jose, the suspected murderer, Jose had other, the FBI was investigating him over other accusations that he assaulted a federal officer. And this was in regards to him when he came into the country, allegedly assaulted two DHS officers. Are you tracking all of this? So what I'm trying to map out for you guys is that there's multiple levels of failure across tons of agencies. Not one, not two, not three, not four, possibly five to six. Again, I asked the FBI about Kyle Serafin's allegations, and the FBI just moments ago declined to comment. And again, now I'm hearing from the NYPD, they don't have any records of his arrest, Jose's arrest from 2023. Don't have any records of that. And then ICE is telling me that the dates are wrong in the filings that the NYPD did. So what's going on here? Well, ultimately, I could just assume what's going on here just from the facts that I'm now seeing. And it looks like we might have multiple levels of failures within our federal government. And there seems to be maybe a suggestion of cover-up going on right now, I'll say. I want to bring in somebody who has a ton of experience about ICE and how to deal with all of this. Let's bring in Victor Avila. He is a retired ICE special agent. He is also a candidate right now running in Texas's 23rd congressional district. Victor, thank you for joining us. That was a lot to kind of unravel, and so I appreciate you sticking with us on that. There's so much to unpack here. First off, we're hearing ICE, I asked them directly regarding the detainer. They just said they didn't put one in because he was released so quickly. What's the steps that ICE would normally take when putting a detainer on a suspect who is under police custody or is at least being charged with a crime? How does this normally work?
It normally works when ICE gets any kind of notification that there's an undocumented person within a jail system, at a county jail or city jail. And immediately they would deploy an ICE enforcement removal operation or deportation officer to lodge that detainer. And what that detainer does, or it's supposed to do, it's supposed to keep that person in custody in case they get released for whatever reason from that pending charge that they got arrested in the first place. It could be a DUI, it could be murder, and would keep the person there. The problem that we're having, obviously, across this country are not only sanctuary cities, but are sanctuary states where they will not abide by that detainer. They will not respect it. They don't see any authority behind it. And somehow, because it's an illegal person in this country, will release them to the streets. And unfortunately, we're concentrating a lot on this case, and rightly so, because there's thousands, I tell you, of this exact case in this country of victims in the United States at the hands of illegal aliens. It must end. We already have, Brianna, as you know, a crime surge of our own. Now we're having to deal with people coming in here from all over the world to commit these heinous crimes. But I want to take you back really quick, because my sources also were telling me about the assault on the border when this guy was initially detained. Now, there's several things that happen here. Border Patrol takes him into custody. They do their initial processing. Then, in this case, this individual we're talking about, Jose, got referred to ICE, in this case, because of the credible fear that he had supposedly from being returned back to Venezuela. So they needed additional time, so sent him over to ICE in an ICE facility, and then ICE did the review. And whether or not this is the problem, that the broken system that we're living under the Biden administration, that obviously that vetting wasn't enough, because we don't know who this individual really is, or his criminal history. We have no idea if he's committed these type of crimes in Venezuela to begin with. So they release him to the streets pending that asylum hearing that we're hearing many, many times over, millions of times over, where these individuals are roaming free under this protected status when they normally will not qualify. 9 out of 10 people will not qualify for asylum under our own criteria. So then now he's out and he's free, and you laid it out very well. So now we have a second opportunity to nab him, and ICE can't get there fast enough because they don't know. There's thousands of illegals being arrested every day for a lot of different crimes, and ICE is not being allowed to enter many times in these sanctuary cities, to enter the jails. Now, let me give you how it used to be. It used to be that we had an ICE deportation officer, even before it was ICE, it was INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service. We had a deportation officer inside the jail. They actually had a small desk there, and they would flag these illegals that would be arrested for whatever charge, the state charge, and lodge the detainer immediately and inform the jail that this person is illegally present in the country. And if in fact is released on bond, no bond, whatever, they need to then transfer the custody over to ICE. And in the perfect world, that's the way it's supposed to work. Then if the person is released, we see what New York is doing with this revolving door of bail reform. And ICE would have had the opportunity to grab them there and put them in a facility to then initiate deportation proceedings, because in the ICE world, the arrest is enough. We don't need a conviction. We don't need to see that case through. We could process them for deportation simultaneously to that pending case that they have at the state level. And of course, that failed as well.
Yeah, there's a ton of failures going on right now. And that's what's so alarming about all of this. I wanted to also bring up the fact that I'm very familiar with New York and how they've freed so many criminals based on criminal justice reform is what they called it. But it's really just a criminal bill of rights. And just to give our audience some background, back in 2018, in 2019, when criminal justice reform was going to kick in, there was another illegal who did run over a woman, a mother, while she was crossing the street in the middle of the night. And he fled because he was illegally living here in the United States. And when they did catch him, he admitted to doing it, but he didn't plead guilty. And so ultimately, when he was presented in front of a judge, the judge said, well, in a couple of days, criminal justice reform is going to be implemented. And you're only charged with manslaughter, which New York considered at the time to be a nonviolent offense. And they released him without bail. And thankfully, ICE caught on to that. They jumped on it. They actually followed him. And right when he was about to flee the state, they arrested him. So it's supposed to work with ICE where they do go after these illegals when they are accused of committing crimes. But I mean, I do, out of all the agencies, I have to say my empathy is with them because I think that they are probably so overwhelmed with everything that's happening right now. Well, it's really hard for them to keep up. And maybe in child endangerment isn't the top of their priorities these days. And so that really didn't make them want to go after them. I think it's going to be interesting. I think the family should file tons of just civil lawsuits against all of these agencies across the board. But again, you mentioned what happened down when this gentleman, Jose, came into the country. Is there anything else you're hearing from your sources? Because like I mentioned, Kyle Serafin and the FBI won't comment on what Kyle's reporting, but it sounds like you're hearing similar things.
I definitely heard about, and we're talking about the assault here. And this is the strange part because they won't tell me anything beyond that, because if there was in fact an assault committed against a federal officer at the time that he came in, why wasn't he then detained on those federal charges? We have people throwing rocks at border agents and trying to beat them up all the time, and they get arrested for that. So that would have been a great indicator that this individual was going to be fighting the system and it'd be a danger to our community from the very get-go. But you brought up a good point here that the reason we're having this, and you and I could have a show for an hours long mm-hmm. show of just speaking of the victims in this country at the hands of illegal aliens, that they never get their say-so, I think. But the reason we're talking about this and we're here is because of the broken open border system that this administration created. So ultimately, I think it's blood on the hands of the Biden administration and Alejandro Mayorkas because they created it this way. They're the ones, this process didn't exist before. It certainly didn't exist when I was an agent. And so they have created this system. And unfortunately, they can't even follow their own system good enough to have these loopholes where these criminals and murderers and killers and rapists are falling through the cracks. How many more are out there that we haven't heard of or that ICE hasn't had the opportunity to intercept them at one of these jails? We have a lot of illegals being arrested every single day in this country, but because these counties and cities release them immediately, and for some reason, it's upside down and backwards that they even release them faster because they're illegal. They even seem to get some kind of additional protection from those communities. But I'll tell you another thing. These illegals prey on their own communities as well, not only U.S. citizens, but when they come back into the country, where do they come back to? Back to the same housing area or neighborhood that they used to live. And there's a lot of crime amongst them, too. Believe me, the other community, the other migrants or illegals, they don't want them there because these are the bad apples that it's affecting the rest of this immigration. But ultimately, it's the policy that has been implemented down there that is causing the loss of life. And this is one murder, as tragic as it is, but there's been hundreds of murders since this murder with fentanyl pills, over 200,000 under this administration. And no one talks about that either. They're killing us. They're literally killing us. They're killing our youth. Listen, I have a 23-year-old daughter in college, and this grabbed my attention immediately because you're talking about public safety here. And this is one of the things that touches my heart. And the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is because if you're not safe in your own community, in your own school, in your own Walmart neighborhood, everything else goes out the window. People want to feel safe. People want to know that their family members are safe at their place of work, at their place of recreation. And I'm glad you're bringing it up and doing this reporting, because we need to show the American people that if you support the Biden administration or people that align with themselves with this administration, this is what you're supporting. You're supporting people that come into this country and kill us.
Yeah, you are. And this 22-year-old, she reminds me of my sister, that her friends posted videos of her, like Ring doorbell videos and all these things online. And I have to say, it's heartbreaking to see because she reminds me just my sister. And, you know, we're active runners. We love running. And so this could have been any of us. And this isn't the first illegal who murdered a young woman while she was running. We've seen it time and time again. And the media will bury their status in this country. A lot of the times they won't be open and say what if they were an American citizen or not, and if they were here illegally. And so it's deeply concerning and it needs more attention. But I want to talk about all the bad apples that are being pushed into our country. A lot of people I speak to say a lot of countries are literally emptying their prisons and sending them to our country right now because they don't want to deal with them. And we're just kind of becoming the wasteland for all of these toxic, violent people. Venezuela just recently announced last week, that they are not going to be taking any of these deportation flights in. So ultimately, the U.S. and Mexico cannot put these people that were deporting, these Venezuelan citizens, back on planes and send them back to their country, which is alarming. But they're saying it's being done because the Biden administration has just brought back a lot of these economic sanctions onto Venezuela. And so they're protesting by not taking any of these violent criminals back into their country. When we talk about the Biden administration and even their reluctancy to get rid of these people and send them back, let's just say best case scenario, President Donald Trump wins in November. And I think he will, but we'll see how it goes. How can he bring these people and force Venezuela to take these illegals back? They're not our citizens. They're not Mexico citizens. They're Venezuelans. So how do we force them?
We're going to force them through very, very heavy economic sanctions, tariffs. We're going to cut off their aid. Every single economic impact that comes from the United States into that country, it's Venezuela and many others, including Mexico. And by the way, the reason why you included when you said Venezuela and Mexico will not accept them, because remember, Mexico is good friends with Venezuela and Maduro, the president there, and very good friends with Cuba and very good friends with these communist socialist countries. And when Blinken went over there and Mayorkas went there a couple of months ago to Mexico, and they made this secret deal that they still haven't shared with the American people, part of it was Mexico demanded of the United States to lift sanctions on Venezuela. And so I say that so you could see what's happening here in the background. They also asked for the United States to lift sanctions against Cuba because Mexico aligns with them, not with us. They're not our partner. They're not our friend. And people need to understand that just because they're our neighbors doesn't mean that automatically they're on our side. Believe me, I worked there. I know it's a very corrupt country. And what we're going to do is we're going to force these countries under the Biden administration to take these individuals back. It happened with Guatemala under the Trump administration, where they were blocking the runways from allowing our airplanes to land. And President Trump immediately cut them off. He said, how much money do we send them? And whatever that amount was, stop sending it immediately. And what did they do? Immediately open the runways again. We need to hit them where it hurts them. And they need to understand that, well, it's a position of strength, first of all, you have to come from, right? And a position of leadership. And that's the difference that President Trump will bring. I will help him do that by meeting with these countries because I worked in these countries. We'll get together. We'll let them know. And we're going to very strongly suggest to them that you will take back your criminals. By the way, DHS acknowledged over a year ago in a memo that, in fact, Venezuela was emptying their prisons. We're not making this up. They emptied their prisons and their rehabilitation centers and directed those people to come straight to the United States. This is the truth. Now we're seeing the result of those people. We don't have the databases to check their criminal histories. We can't, with a 3-minute interview that the Border Patrol has when these individuals come before them at the border in Texas or Arizona or California, we just cannot determine what kind of individual this is, their criminal history. And even if we did have that, the Biden administration is not allowing our agents to do it by asking them to move these people quickly, especially when they have a child, to circumvent that. And they move them so fast that they're going through the system. Murderers, by the way, the 385,000 unaccompanied children, almost 100,000 of them lost. Why are they lost? Because no one checked on it. No one, ICE Interior, was not given the authority or the manpower to go and knock on that door to check on that potential supposedly sponsor that's going to take this child. And we put children in human trafficking situations, forced labor, sex labor, and many other horrific conditions under our own watch. And some, as a subject matter expert in human trafficking investigations, it baffles me and angers me that we continue to see these kids on airplanes and buses being sent throughout the entire United States. We need to go back and rescue them. That's one of the things I want to do as your congressman. But it really has to do with the policies. We will go back to the policies that work, and I will support legislation that will enhance it. We don't need any more laws. We'll use the ones that we have that are very effective, but I will want to secure those by enhancing with legislation so no one else can undo what this administration has done and destroyed our country and killed many, many of our Americans.
Yeah, it's upsetting. And we need somebody like you in there to do this because, you know, right now the 23rd Congressional District really doesn't have a fighter, and you are just that. This is the last week of early voting in Texas. So I wanted to remind our audience of that. And Victor, I mean, we need to send all of these people back to their countries. Enough is enough. We have enough violence in our own country, and we are now just going to become like the armpit of violence for the rest of the world. If this continues on, we just won't be able to survive it. And so that's why, you know, I know we all pray that President Donald Trump makes it into the White House, because there's no other chance for our country. We are on the verge of something very, very tragic if we don't push back on this. Again, to our audience, guys, Victor is running for Congress. If you live in Texas, this is the last week of early voting. Head over to victoravilaforcongress.com. Victor, I know you're busy, so we appreciate your time as always, and thank you for jumping on with us.
I appreciate you, Brianna, having and bringing this important news and tragic news, but we need to hear more. People need to hear. Believe me, I talk to voters all the time. Some people are not aware of what's going on. We got those engaged voters, but the majority of people do not know, and they are at risk. And by the time they become, God forbid, a victim at the hands of one of these illegal aliens in a crime, and it might be something as simple as a property crime, right? Then all of a sudden they wake up and say, wait a minute, what's going on? We need you to wake up now before that happens.
We do. And we pray on this because our country can't keep going through this. And so it's devastating. Thank you, Victor, for everything. We appreciate it. It was a beautiful sight to see yesterday in Brazil. The Brazilian people have had enough and they're having their voices heard. As you can see, there's a sea of just yellow and green, and it's all in support for their former president, Bolsonaro. Now, as you guys can see there, according to reports, over 750,000 supporters who came out to support the former president. Now, we've talked about it on the show before. Brazil is going after Bolsonaro, and they are looking to do so at all costs. And it has to do with, you know, their new leader, obviously, who's not a fan these days, Lula da Silva. He is the individual who is now leading Brazil. And Silva, as many of our experts have told us already, he's not really the one who's pulling the strings after going after Bolsonaro, of course. We're told that that is Brazil's Supreme Court, which many people have alleged is extremely corrupt and biased, but don't take my word for it. Let's bring in somebody who was censored by the Brazilian Supreme Court. Let's bring in Paulo Figueiredo. Paulo, thank you for jumping on with us today. I want to tell our audience that you are an award-winning journalist, of course, and you do host your own show. It is available on Rumble. I highly recommend our audience going over there and subscribing. Paulo, thank you for jumping on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So there's so much to unpack right now in Brazil. We were flooded with the images, only on social media, of course, of Brazilians protesting and supporting Bolsonaro in the streets. Bolsonaro did come out and he was, you know, waving Israel's flag. And it was a great sight to see. So tell us a little bit, what was happening yesterday in Brazil? Because the mainstream media is not covering it. And I think it's very, very important for Americans to see that Brazil is pushing back. So what happened yesterday in Brazil?
Well, there's some debate over the exact numbers, but just to give you an idea, the 2019 São Paulo LGBT Pride Parade held a record of around 3 million people in their event. And yesterday's event at least the images show, it blew those numbers out of the water. So we're probably talking about way more than 700,000, 750,000 people. Mm-hmm. According to some accounts, what we saw yesterday in Brazil might be the biggest in Brazilian history. So it was significant. And this marks the first massive return to the streets since Bolsonaro presidency ended. Up until 2022, it was pretty common to see Brazilian, patriotic Brazilians rallying. But things really shifted after January 8th. That day, it's our January 6th, a group stormed public buildings, including the Congressional Building, really very similar to what happened in the United States on January 6th. So after that, the people were just afraid about going on the streets again. Around 2,000 people were arrested on that day. So people were afraid. So they have, since Bolsonaro left office, there have been another protests, a couple of them, but this one is the first backed by former President Bolsonaro himself. So we're talking about over 100 members of Congress, senators, governors from the three biggest states in Brazil, and other high-profile pictures speaking. And it was definitely beautiful. Very peaceful, very organized. There's nothing, no incident to report. Which proves that what happened on January 8th was not something, common to say the least.
Yeah. And it looked like a beautiful gathering of people in support of their former president. Lula da Silva is the leader now. And it's interesting because you see the Israel flag, and there's a reason for that. Why are so many Brazilians waving that flag in the crowd?
Well, Lula has been making several anti-Israel comments, and the worst of them was last week when he compared what Israel was doing in Gaza right now. He compared that with a Holocaust. That was terrible, of course. It's Israel's self-defense right to protect their people, being compared with something perpetrated by the Nazis and one of the most horrible tragedies in the history of mankind. And Lula did that on purpose. He's aligning the international politics of Brazil to China, Iran, and other countries as well. So, I mean, the majority of Brazilian people support Israel. It was the population did not approve that comment, although Lula himself, still not very unpopular at this point. The main focus of the protests were the escalating dictatorship in Brazil, the crackdown of political opponents, especially targeting President Bolsonaro himself, which rumors say that he'll be in prison very soon.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It really is. But we're seeing kind of like a mirror reflection of what's going on here in the United States, where corrupt judges are targeting the political opposition, and it's the regime who's doing so. So it's interesting to watch. I know that's why so many Americans are interested in what's going on in Brazil. And yet again, we don't really have a platform in the mainstream media to kind of look into it. So you're a great resource for that. You just mentioned that Lula's approval numbers really aren't damaged into – there's not really much in the way of a disapproval for him right now, a majority, you'd say. What is it going to take? Because it seems like Brazil so quickly kind of has shifted and changed, the government especially, since Bolsonaro stepped away as president. Are they close to kind of seeing what's happening with their government, the Brazilian people? Or do you think that it's going to take more, potentially the incarceration of President Bolsonaro, to kind of change their minds?
Well, Lula's approval right now is in the still in the 40s percentage wise. So it's not too bad. Well, when you see Joe Biden with 30 something percent approval, you see other leaders in Latin America, in Colombia, for example, the their approval is below 30%. So Lula is not doing so bad. The main reason for that is because he inherited the economy in great shape that Bolsonaro left. So we're still not completely feeling in Brazil the outcome, the results of his policies. So that's the main reason why his popularity is not too low yet. But it's a different thing because Bolsonaro has an approval, again, himself close to 50%, and the population is watching what's happening to him, and it's extremely unfair. The charges against him are really ridiculous. One of them is that he disturbed the whale, the actual whale, the mammal, because he rode his jet ski close to a whale. And then the Ministry of Foreign of Environment of Lula just pressed charges against him, and he actually had to depose on the federal police about that. The other charges are really ridiculous. They're about him supposedly falsifying his vaccination card, COVID-19 vaccination card, in order to come to the United States, or the fact that he sold some jewelry that he received as a gift when he was president, and he was allowed to, but apparently there's some discussion about it. And of course, the main investigation is if he tried or not a coup in early 2023 after he left office, which is kind of funny as well, in a sense, because he was in the United States on vacation on January 8th, for example. He left power before the end of his term, came to the United States. He was supposed to leave office on January 1st, 2023. He left to the United States on December 30th, 2022. So he didn't watch Lula's inauguration in person. He was here in the United States with no control of the army or over the military. So it's kind of laughable. But still, there's a good chance he'll go to prison because of that. There are reports that the current dictator of the country, which is the Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes, threatened Bolsonaro with an arrest if he so much has whispered criticism against the Supreme Court on his speech. So the talks about Bolsonaro being jailed, they're ramping up. Just last week, for example, mainstream media magazines claimed that the army is already preparing a cell for him in their headquarters because Bolsonaro is a former military. Things are not looking great for Brazil right now. And this is the way of people demonstrating. They have no voice on mainstream media. So they're being ignored by the authorities, mainly the Supreme Court. So this is the way they were able to make their voices heard.
Yeah, it's all disturbing. And you speak about how the Supreme Court in Brazil is kind of censoring him from speaking out and calling out this level of corruption. We see it here in the United States. President Trump is getting a slap of gag orders, and he's just supposed to sit there and allow them to trash through anonymous sources in the media, and he can't defend himself. They are tainting the jury pool here in the U.S., and he can't do anything about it, which is disturbing. But speaking of President Trump, you saw the president. You met with him over at CPAC. So we have to hear, how is the president doing? And did you have any moments to kind of chat it up with the president? I know he was busy this weekend. So did you have a second to kind of catch his ear on anything?
We actually did. I haven't seen the president in a while. And he looked great. He didn't age a single year. He's in great shape. He actually lost weight since the last time I saw him. So he looks like he's in good shape. Very different from the sitting president of the United States. So that's for sure. Very energetic. We talked. I was with the son of President Bolsonaro, Eduardo Bolsonaro, and who's a congressman in Brazil. And Donald Trump showed he was very aware of what was going on in Brazil. and he showed that he just offered his concerns with the country. He has former President Bolsonaro. He holds him in high esteem, and so it was pretty nice. And he said a couple of things that I can't say on air.
I'll always try to pry, though, but it was a good attempt. Paulo, thank you for joining us again, guys. Go look at his Rumble page, subscribe. You're giving all the information out that sadly we're not hearing about in Brazil, and so we're thankful that you're doing that, and you're so good at it that you're being censored by the corrupt courts in Brazil. So thank you for that, and we appreciate your time, and we'll keep our audience in the loop of everything that's going on right now in Brazil, because if Bolsonaro gets arrested, it's going to be a heartbreaking day for many Americans, because we are very much connected with Brazil and President Bolsonaro. So we will keep everyone up to date. Thank you, Paulo.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use the promo code to save 50% on your MyPillow 2.0. Not only that, for a limited time, your entire order ships absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
MyPillow.com.
You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. Under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend Dr. Kirk Elliott because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure, and he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. And you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.